Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to start reading in verse number 1. If you would, if you're able to, if you'd stand, please, and in reverence to the Word of God, and give you a chance to stretch your legs for a little bit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And I just want to preach a little while on this thought. Walking the walk. It just kind of goes right along with what Brother Logsdon was preaching. Just maybe a little different avenue of what he was saying. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your love and your goodness. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand and preach today. And Lord, I ask you to, Lord, fill me with your Spirit and give me the power and strength to preach. And Lord, give me the thoughts that I need, control what I say. And Lord, I pray that you'd be exalted and lifted up in what we preach. Lord, I pray that you'd help us be an encouragement and a blessing to all those that are here. And Father, that it would encourage our hearts to walk like we should walk. Father, I pray you'd help us, strengthen us, and Lord, bless us as we try to preach. Lord, I can't do this of myself. I need your help. So Father, preach through me what you'd have preached today. And we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. One of the things that I believe God expects us to do is walk right. I think He expects us to walk right. And in Ephesians chapter 5, He talks about walking. And there's actually three kinds of walks that He mentions in Ephesians chapter 5. And He mentions them very specifically. And he mentions them in light of a Christian walking the walk. And if there's one thing that we need today, it is to walk the walk. The world needs to see that this thing of Christianity is real. One of the problems I think we have in reaching people is they've looked at Christianity and they've looked at Christians and people that say they're saved and love God, and they're no different than what they are, and they see no difference in our walk, so they've come to the conclusion that this Christianity is not real. And they say, well, you're not any different than me, so I'm just as good as you are, so your Christianity is not any different than mine, so it's not really real. And so what we need to understand is that God expects us to walk the walk. And we need to walk. And He tells us here in Ephesians 5, there's three ways that we need to walk. The first one is found in verse number 2. He says to walk in love. Walk in love. And that's the very first walk He mentions in Ephesians 5.
He says, walk in love. You know, I think one thing as preachers, we need to walk in love towards one another. I mean, listen, the devil beats us up enough. I don't really think we need to beat each other up. I mean, the devil is beating us up enough. I mean, he's beating us up physically. He's beating us up spiritually. He's beating us up in the world. We're getting beat up enough. I don't need to go beat you up, and you don't need to come beat me up. I mean, the devil's beating us up, so let's don't beat one another up. Let's love one another. I mean, we don't have to go beat other preachers up. Let's love one another. Let's walk in love towards one another, and then the world will see that we love each other. And they might see that this thing is real. And they might want to come to church where we are and listen to what we got to say. If they know that me and Durbin love each other, they might want to come and listen to what we got to say about God. But what they do is they see us hammering each other and beating each other up, and they don't want to come and listen to what we got to say because we don't even love each other. We need to walk in love. We need to walk in love. Love is the proof. Listen, love is the proof of genuine faith. It's the proof of genuine faith. It's proof of discipleship. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples if you love one another. Now, I understand he was talking to the 12, but I believe the application can be made to us. They'll know that you're my disciples. They'll know you're my followers. They'll know that you're mine if you love one another. It's proof of genuine faith. It's proof of new life. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth me not, his brother abideth in death. Listen. It's proof of our faith. I'm so tired of people saying they're saved and then there's no change. That kind of stuff's not real. It's not real. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In other words, he's not what he used to be, he's new. Now, if he's not what he used to be, and now he's new, there has to be a change between there and here. In other words, there's a metamorphosis that takes place between here and here. It's like a caterpillar goes in and a butterfly comes out. There is a change in our lives when we get saved and accept Christ as our Savior. We are different than we were before. And when there's no change, I'm telling you, there's something strange about that profession. It's walking in love is a proof of genuine faith. It's a proof of discipleship. It proves that we are followers of God when we love each other. It proves that there's new life. It proves that we've changed. Listen, I got saved in 1978, in May of 1978. And God, listen, I didn't deserve it. And I had been in church and played church and all that kind of stuff. And God showed me that I was lost. And I went to the altar and got saved. And God changed me. I was in the military when I got changed. And God washed my mouth out with holy soap and I quit cussing. And, you know, God changes you when you get saved. And by the way, God doesn't change all of you overnight. You know, as you begin to grow, God makes other changes. You know what I'm saying? And so after I got saved, He washed my mouth out. I quit that, but I was still nipping in the bottle. You know what I'm saying? And then I began to read the Bible and I figured out I couldn't do that. God said, that ain't right, so I got rid of that. I'm just simply saying that it's a proof of genuine faith, and it shows it's proof of new life. We change.
Number three, it's a proof that there's a Holy Spirit in us.
He comes and indwells in us when we get saved. Listen, you don't have to tell people when they're doing wrong. They know. They know. They know when what they're doing is wrong. How do you know that, preacher? Because the Holy Ghost lives in you. When you get saved, the Holy Ghost lives in you. And as a child of God, when you do wrong, you know. You don't have to wait to come Sunday morning to hear the preacher preach about your sin for you to know it was wrong. You knew it was wrong when you did it, and you should have just went ahead and got it right when the Holy Ghost revealed to you it was wrong. Some people think they got to wait to get to church and the preacher preach on their sin before they can get it right. No. Listen, that's part of the walking in love thing. Listen, it's love. It's a proof of genuine faith. It shows that we've been filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I'm glad that He still corrects us. And this walking in love, it affects our disposition. It affects our conduct. It affects the things that we do. It gives us, listen, this walking in love will give us a greater concern for other people when we walk in love. It'll give us a kindness towards other people that we don't necessarily have when we're lost. I mean, listen, God can make you love people that you couldn't love before. Is that not right? He can cause you to love people that you wouldn't love before you got saved. But after you got saved and began to walk in that newness of life and began to grow in Christ, He began to make you love people that you didn't love before. It's all that walking in love. Cause you to have a greater compassion for people that are in trouble. Remember, you used to have trouble too. In fact, we still have trouble. Walking in love can help you have greater compassion for those that are in trouble. I'm not saying give them a hand out, but we sure ought to give them a hand up. So we see in verse number 2 that he says, walk in love. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You listen, he says, you were sometimes darkness. Before we got saved, we were darkness. He said, but now you're light. That's just talking about that change. When you get saved, it's change. You're no longer darkness, now you're light. That's another one of those change things. When you get saved, when it's real, there's a change. And the command of walking as children of light really reaches from verse 3 all the way to 14. If you read all those verses, it talks about walking in light, about in all of those verses. I'm not going to go back and read those. The Bible talks a lot about light and darkness. Light speaks of God's righteousness. Darkness speaks of the evils of the world and our world where we live. I want you to notice how darkness is set forth in Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse number 3, he says, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, not convenient. He talks about whoremongers, unclean person, covetous man, idolater. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He lists out the things of darkness. And we were sometimes darkness. Before we got saved, that may describe who we were. And then he talks about the contrast with light. He talks about goodness, righteousness, truth. What is acceptable unto the Lord. And rejecting and reproving the works of darkness. You know, one of the problems I think we have is our, when we walk in the world, our lives are not reproving. We walk in the world and our light is not reproving. It doesn't reprove the works of darkness. It doesn't make them feel bad about who they are. It doesn't cause them to feel bad about their sin. Because our light is not reproving the darkness. Our light is not reproving what they're doing. And therefore, they don't feel bad about how they're living because our life is not reproving the darkness. And one of the reasons I think it's not is because we've got this thing in our mind that we're supposed to go out and shine like a 600-watt light bulb. We're supposed to go out and shine like the big bright spotlight that they put up in the sky when they're having a grand opening of some big building. And we're supposed to go out and be that 600-watt light bulb that throws that, and people are supposed to see that bright light. And I'm telling you, that's not what the Bible says about light. You know what Jesus said? He said, "You are the light of the world." And He compares that light to a candle. He doesn't want us to go out and be a 600-watt light bulb. He just wants us to go out and shine like a candle. That's what He said. He said, "Who takes a candle and puts it under a bushel?" He doesn't do that. Puts it in a lampstand so it can give light to the whole house. He doesn't expect us to go out and shine bright like a big light bulb. He just expects us to go out and shine like a candle. Just a little candle. But you know what happens when you get this many candles together? It makes a 600-watt light bulb. See what I'm saying? But just one light bulb in a dark room will reprove the darkness. Just one candle in a dark room will reprove the darkness in that room. Now, there's some interesting things about a candle. Number one, a candle cannot light itself. It has to be lit by another source. And guess what? We cannot light ourselves. The light we get comes from Christ, comes from God. It's not our light, it's His light. Therefore, we can't light ourselves. If we're going to go out in the world and shine like a candle, then we're going to have to let Christ light us up. We're going to have to go to Him and say, "Lord, help me shine like a candle. Light me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and let me shine like a candle." Number two, the candle will only burn as long as the wick will surrender itself to the flame. When the wick stops surrendering itself to the flame, the candle will not burn. So you know what that means? We need to surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit all the time. We need to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit all the time. Why? Because He expects us to shine like a candle. He wants us to walk in the world, in the darkness of the world, and all we have to do is walk like a candle. And it'll reprove the darkness. If we'll just walk. If we'll just walk in light, just like a little candle, it will reprove the darkness. It'll reprove it if we just walk. Like a candle. Not like a big light, but just a candle. And when we come together like this, and all of our candles are here, then it glorifies God. It glorifies our Savior. And that's why we can come to these kinds of meetings and we can enjoy the presence of God and we can enjoy praising God. Our candles are shining together because we're all here not to say we're in somebody's camp, but we're here to say that we love God and we want God to show up and we want to worship God and we want God to have the preeminence in everything we do.
He said, shine. Christ is the source of our light. He is the source of our light. Verse 14 of our text, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. If we're going to have light, we're going to have to surrender to Christ and let him shine through us. Because we do not have any light of our own, and we cannot light ourselves. We must depend on him. Number three. Look at verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So first he said walk in love. Second he said walk in light. And third, he said walk circumspectly. In other words, walk looking around. Walk with your eyes open. And look at what's going on around you. Walk carefully. My uncle had a dairy farm. I worked on it as a young child, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. And he had 295 calves. And we had to milk them twice a day. And you learn very quickly to walk circumspectly. You walk very carefully, and you definitely look at what's going on around you, because if you don't, it's not a good thing. But God expects us to walk that way in the world. He expects us to walk circumspectly in the world. Why? Because we need to be careful, and we need to keep our eyes on what's going on around us, because I promise you the devil is going to put some mud holes in front of us. He's going to put some snares in front of us, and he's going to try to trip us up. And that's why we've got to walk circumspectly. We've got to keep our eyes open for those things that the devil's going to try to put in front of us in order to trip us up and cause us to fall. Because he doesn't want us to walk as light. He doesn't want us to walk in love. And he doesn't want us to walk circumspectly. He wants us to trip. He wants us to fall. He wants us to fight. He doesn't want us to reprove the darkness. He doesn't want us to do that. So he's going to do everything he can to trip us up. Therefore, he said, walk circumspectly. Walk carefully. Looking around you and looking for those snares that the devil's going to put up. You've got to be careful, and you can't walk looking at the ground. You got to look around. You got to walk circumspectly. It's like two houses with a fence and a pit bull and a Doberman and a cat. And the cat's crossing the fence, he's going to walk circumspectly. He's going to walk carefully. He's going to walk looking around. He's going to walk carefully, circumspectly across that fence, because he can't afford to fall. If he falls either way, he's toast. And that's the way it is. We've got to walk that circumspectly. We've got to walk that carefully, because the devil is out there wanting to trip us up. He's wanting us to fall. And listen, he doesn't want just anybody. Preachers, he wants us. He wants us more than he wants other people. Because if he can get us to fall, he can bring disgrace upon the church. He can bring disgrace upon independent Baptist. He can bring disgrace upon Christianity if he can get one of us to fall, especially if we're prominent. Then they can have a heyday. And listen,
None of us preachers, listen, none of us preachers are above that happening to us. None of us are none of us are exempt from that happening to us. But for the grace of God, that could have already been us. You say, not me, preacher. I would never do that. Be careful when you say that. Be careful. Because it could have been us. You say, preacher, not me. That would never happen to me. Be careful. Because I would venture to say that he probably said that too. I would say he probably said that too. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to call his name, but y'all know. But you know what? He's not the only one that that's happened to. And but for the grace of God, it can happen to me. And it can happen to you. That's why Paul says walk circumspectly. Walk looking around. Walk careful. Because the devil wants us, preachers. He wants us. He wants us. He wants us to start looking at things on the internet that we ought not be looking at. Because you can do that in your office behind closed doors and nobody can see. I wouldn't do that. Be careful. He'll do whatever he can to get us. That's why we've got to walk circumspectly. We've got to walk carefully. But we've got to walk with our eyes open, not just to keep us from falling and tripping on the snares of the devil, but we've got to walk with our eyes open so that we can see the needs of other people. So that we can see the will of God. So that we can follow the will of God and follow the direction that God wants us to go in. So that we can see the signs of the time. Hey, I think we're close to going home. You say, preacher, I've heard that for years and years. We're closer now than we were years and years ago. We may not go in 2012, but we're closer than we were in 2011. Amen. And if he doesn't come, we'll be closer in 2013 than we were in 2012. Every day we get closer to going home. And if you look around, things are pretty exciting. Especially when you look over in the Middle East. Things are sure getting interesting over there. Everybody's wanting that little piece of land. And everybody's kind of encircling it. So it is kind of getting exciting. And those that will walk circumspectly with their eyes up and open and looking around will seize on the opportunities because they realize that the time is short and the situation is serious. We just came out of revival. And the one thing that we learned in revival is that time is short and the opportunities are serious. Because people's souls are in the balance. Walk the walk. Walk the walk in love, in light, and circumspectly. That's how God expects us to do it.